number five in the back of the book. In number five, in the appendix, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Hymn number five in the Bible.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there.
That would benefit those that were here yesterday. We just have a quick summary of what we talked about. Chapter 10. We talked about how the first five verses of this chapter speaks about sheep, and there were many characteristics, words that we talked about in this chapter. I'll just mention it briefly without going into details. In verse 1 there, we spoke about the door, we spoke about the sheepfold, we spoke about the thief and robber. In verse 2, how only the shepherd of the sheep coming in through the door. Verse 3, the porter, how the sheep hear his voice, and he leadeth them, not herding them, and how the sheep follow his voice. Verse 5, they're strangers, and so on. So that's the characteristics about the sheepfold. And then from verse 6 on to perhaps verse 16, which part of it we will go over, is in regard to the good shepherd. So we know the good shepherd is the one who look after the sheep. And we talk about the thief that cometh, we talk about the wolf, and we brought out the characteristics that the wolf in this case come, but it only scatter the sheep. It does not kill, which is not character of wolves. They normally kill the sheep. So here is proof that the Lord is speaking of his own, because he told them that he gave unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. So eternal life is assured, knowing that a wolf can come in and only scatter. So now we're on to verse 14, where we are. The Lord himself said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine.
beautiful parallel in the 14th and 15th verse. I know mine, the sheep there is in italic, I know mine, and I'm known of mine, and the Father knows me, and I know the Father. We're brought into a relationship with the Father now, as our Father, our God and our Father, through the Lord Jesus. So you have a parallel between the knowledge of the Lord of his own, and his own knowing him, and the Father knowing him, and he knowing the Father. And now he's brought us to know the Father ourselves, and being known of the Father, of course.
Story from the late 1800s in Syria, where a traveler was going along and he observed a huge sheepfold. It was kind of at a crossing of the ways. A lot of shepherds were passing through and they keep their sheep there for the night, and he estimated there were over 10,000 sheep in that fold. And the person he was traveling with was a shepherd, and in the morning there's just a sea and confusion of sheep voices in the fold and other shepherds that were there, and he wondered how in the world this man was going to get his 100 or so sheep out of that giant sheepfold. And he did exactly what you might expect. He called each one by name and they came out. They could hear his voice somehow. Whatever, I don't know if he called them with a word name or whether he had a special call for each one, but however he did it, he extracted those 100 sheep and they went off in their own direction. There's a cacophony of voices in the world today. There's all kinds of ideas and thoughts of men about God, but the Good Shepherd has come down and he speaks individually to each one to take them out to follow after himself. And we have that privilege of knowing him in that personal way and being known, just as was pointed out, the parallel between that and the 15th verse, just as that beautiful relationship of the Son and the Father that the Son came to reveal. He brings us into that same kind of relationship, not a cold, distant, unknown God, but rather a personal one, come close, with an individual name and voice for each one that's his own.
It's interesting to see if you want to know someone, you should know their name. Often we struggle with that, don't we? We think we know someone and we look at someone and say, I can't remember your name. Really, we don't know them well, do we? We know them well, we know them by name. So we find the Lord, so he knows his sheep by name. Now, interesting enough, in this world, when things get complicated, so if you're dealing with a large corporation, you'll find that they don't know you by name. You're a customer number such and such. That's how the world looks at you. Satan looked at you as a number. The Lord looked at you as a person, as the one he loved, which he mentioned earlier on, that he know his own. He know you as an individual, love you as an individual, and he care for you.
Like the verse in Psalm 147. In connection with that, brother. Psalm 147. Verses 3 and 4. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names. Like that parallel of the sheep being called by name and the stars being called by name. And you know, everyone that's a sheep of the Lord, he's going to be in glory and going to have a body of glory like the stars. And we find from 2 Corinthians 4 that there is a measure of glory connected with the suffering down here. And so these two verses kind of make that in parallel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names. And it's good for us to remember that if there's suffering and trials down here, there's an eternal answer in glory to that, and that's for their sheep, his sheep that he calls by name. And so when he made the stars, I believe that when God made the universe, he had the eternity in mind, and he made the universe such a way to resemble and to give pictures of that which is eternal and connected with the work of his Son and the following glory.
the Lord Jesus knew all his followers by name. And this whole chapter speaks about it, and there was a long time that he was among them. And yet, they made one big mistake. They did not ask him where they would meet him after his resurrection. And that came right out after he was raised from among the dead, because they went down to the sepulchre and they were looking for him in the sepulchre. Now, if they would have asked him, Lord, where should we meet thee after your resurrection? They wouldn't have gone to the sepulchre and look for him in the sepulchre where they laid him and take him, the salve and ointment with him and made all these extra work. He knew them, but they seemed like they forgot where they were going to look for him. Not in the sepulchre, though. He had told him many times during his life as a man this earth that he was going to be raised from among the dead. And it was a great privilege that he did that, that he stayed 40 days after his resurrection, and he showed himself to many, sometimes to a great number of them, like 500, but most of the time, more intimately, he showed himself to them whom he had been with the most.
Brother David remarked yesterday on the 16th verse that the word is changed at the end there. It does say in the King James, one fold, but it is one flock. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, it was a Jewish fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And so we mentioned that the fold, you can have a fold in French, it's really the place where the sheep are kept. And it's either a barn or a place where it's fenced in. And so the fence is what keeps the sheep together. But in the fold, as our brother Stephen mentioning, they hear the shepherd's voice, and that's where they go. And there's the flock over there, or it's over there, or it's over there, depending on where the shepherd is and where he's calling them. So in the Jewish system, there was restrictions, there were laws that would keep them abiding together and going here and going there. But here, it's a person, and following that person will have you be with the flock.
So in the previous verse that really tied verse 16 to it is that the Lord tells us that he's a good shepherd. Well, how do we know he's a good shepherd? What does a good shepherd really do for the sheep? Well, he said in verse 15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's a very important fact, isn't it? And that he laid down his life. So now John is building this fact here of why he laid down his life, how he laid down his life, and why he laid down his life. And then he goes on and gives us a little hint, as if it were. The fold that we spoke of earlier on is a Jewish fold. Now he said he has other folds, that he wants to bring them all into as one flock. That's why he laid down his life for all. So the Jewish fold, as if it were, and the Gentile fold, it's just for lack of better word, we all will be brought in as that one flock. That's why he's going to lay down his life. We find in Scripture that Israel is the heart and object of the Lord right through the Old Testament up until the cross. But yet, we find actually that we as Gentiles are hinted at throughout the history of the Word of God. It's not something that all of a sudden we Gentile appears in his thought. We were thought of, so in other places we find he said we were predestinated, we were elected to be his, even though we are Gentiles. So we go to the Old Testament, we find that too. We know of the story of Ruth. She was a Gentile, wasn't she? Brought into the blessing of the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have Ruth, we had Rahab, and we even have the 12 tribes. Out of the two tribes, you have Manasseh and Ephraim, who are half-Gentiles. So we see that throughout the Word of God, we've been thought of. So now he said he's going to lay down his life. This is the only way. There is no other way. That's why he said he is the door. We can only be saved. So in verse 9, we go back to it. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. No other way. But that way now for him to be the door is that he will have to lay down his life. He's a good shepherd.
In this chapter, we have the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. And I was thinking as they were reading these verses from chapter 14 to the end, and everyone here in this room is here because of a relationship. In many cases, it's a relationship of children, or of friends, or of spouses, or maybe there's a relative that's here that you wouldn't see maybe once a year except at a Bible conference. There's a relationship. And a brother many years ago said the root of all of our failures and unbelief is unbelief in the goodness that is in the heart of God towards us. There's much unbelief of the goodness that is in the heart of God towards us. So as we read these verses, verse 14, it says, I know my sheep and have known of mine. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And others also, I must bring, they shall hear my voice. So there's a relationship established with the shepherd and the sheep. I'm sure some of this will be repetition, but we know that in the Gospels we have a revelation of Christ in Matthew as the king, in Mark as the servant, in Luke as the son of man, and in John as the son of God. And so for a very quick recap of leading up to chapter 10, we have Jesus as the son of God. John the Baptist spoke in chapter 1 and verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus declared the heart of God to his people. So in this Gospel of John, that relationship is established. God is declaring through Jesus, his heart. So in chapter 1,